everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpinito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Zepeda.
Shout out to all the Japanese salarymen in your fucking terrible kitchen with your terrible food and just kill yourself. Hi, I'm Kai.
I didn't realize we had sad Jerry Seinfeld on our show this week.
What's the deal with salary men?
What's the deal with salary men? Why are they all just already dead?
Anyway, we also
have Colin Sparling.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, the suicide rates in Japan. Let me just crunch some.
Yikes.
Jesus. Real dark. I have words about that comedy routine, by the way.
Yep. Oh, same.
About his training.
This week, if you haven't guessed it yet, we're talking about episode 29 of Tokyo 2019-2020 about love. We're talking about love this week. And there is a lot of love and not love going on.
Let's talk about love.
Yeah. Let's just dive right in because this is a huge fucking episode, 50 minutes, and it's chock full of just. It's everything.
What is going on? This show is like banger after banger, just chock full of disgusting, just uncomfortable moments.
Well, yeah. That's not a way to sell it.
But in the best way.
I thought it was a good episode. I thought it was just, like you said, just jam-packed, man. There's a lot to unpack.
There is.
So let's start at the beginning like we always do. We're with the panel, and we have a guest panelist for this episode and presumably probably the next episode. We have comedian Chiemi Buruzan, I think is the way you say that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not familiar.
She takes the spot next to Tokui. She sits on the couch next to Baba, which is a little bit respectful there, right?
Women can't sit on the floor.
That's also true.
It's illegal.
Yeah, in your new world order?
Yes, in my new world order. Absolutely.
they kind of go through, as they do with most of the guests, right? They go through kind of like quick hits of like what's your favorite Terrace House moments and stuff. And you get the sense that Chiemi is into the younger boy who stumbles through life and learns, much like Yudai. He didn't learn anything.
Shout out to our boy Yudai.
He is our angel.
Our guardian angel.
Yeah, he is our angel, official.
I was watching the episode and they showed the picture of Yudai and I said Uchi out loud because I don't know why I got those two confused, but he looks like Uchi to me at a glance.
Oh.
Yeah?
I don't know. He reminds me of him slightly.
That's a cut on Uchi.
I like
Uchi.
But she also liked Ruka's speech, his whole English graduation speech. So it was very cute.
He cried. She was like going to cry right then and there about
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Thinking about it. It was really sweet.
I mean, we all kind of did, too. And you can hear that in one of our live reacts from a few weeks ago.
It's true.
Yeah, if you want to hear, just fucking ball our eyes out.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I did find this funny, too. This is a kind of a recurring thing on the panelists' segments for this episode. But you has a thing for deep-voiced men who talk in very deep, dulcet tones. And the first bit of evidence we get here is that she divorced two deep-voiced men. Implying she loved them at one point.
Kai, you're next.
Yeah.
Look out.
She's got her eye on
you're
Kai.
You're on the list.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened. Is it just like those dulcet low tones? It's hitting to a point, man. You're speaking so low, I can't understand what you're saying. You're like hitting the brown note here.
I feel like also later on in the episode, she says that she doesn't even care if he's not funny. And I think she said she might even prefer him not to be funny. And... Mm-hmm. This is kind of, I kind of brought it up here in the beginning, but it's just like he said he just kind of stumbled into doing stand up about 5 months ago. And, you know, I brought this up previous episodes of ours, but it's just like, OK, based on the two times we see him practicing here, I got to admit, I'm kind of worried because I expected it to be funny. I just expected to laugh. But when he was talking, it was just like, no, he hasn't done that in front of anybody yet. I get the sense, you know, like if he would just go and do some like open mics and just that's where you really got to, like, you know, test yourself as a comedian, just get out there in front of it and see how people react, because I don't think that you can be a good judge of what's funny until an audience responds first.
Yeah, Yeah, he's when we actually jump into the episode proper, he's kind of pacing in the playroom, and I like that he actually like moved the pillows on the floor so that he could properly pace around. And on his busted iPhone, like, that screen is cracked. He's like recording things and listening to them back, and I really hope that he adjusts what he's going to do because of what he heard, because like literally what Jack started out with, it was essentially the same thing.
Why don't you just kill yourself?
I don't understand why they're still alive. Like, it really sucks to be a Japanese salary man. And like, it's like, dude, okay, yeah, but and
yeah, and go on. And? Exactly. And
are we just like, yeah,
what it was, I hate to say it, but it was exactly like what I was scared it was going to be like, where it's like, okay, he cited already that he likes Chris Rock, and it just seemed like a dude that is not very funny, which brings me to a second point, but a dude that's not very funny naturally and normally in his day-to-day, just doing his best impression of Chris Rock, because that is subject matter that Chris Rock talks about, you know, that kind of just home life, going home to your wife after a long day of work and stuff. That's totally Chris Rock's wheelhouse. And so it just seemed like he was doing an impression of him there in the beginning, but it didn't seem to come from anything. I don't know. It was weird. It was, and it wasn't funny. And that, I guess, real quick, that's like the thing I want to bring up. Like, when you know a comedian, when you know someone that's doing this professionally, they're just funny going out to the grocery store or going on a drive with them. They're just funny naturally, you know, sitting down, having food with them. He's never done anything or said anything funny. He's kind of like a bland personality in the house so far. I mean, we don't know him that well, so maybe it's too early for me to call that. But you know what I mean? Like, he hasn't made anyone laugh yet naturally, I feel like.
I kind of don't agree with that. I don't think comedians are always funny all the time.
You think he's funny?
No, I don't think he's funny. But okay. I think to assume that a comedian is always funny, that leads into that slippery slope of, oh, you're a comedian? Do a joke right now, man. You have to just do it like right on cue, right? Because you're always funny. Like, that's not how it works. A good comedian observes their everyday life and finds the funny in it. I think that's what he's attempting to do. Obviously failing pretty hard, but keep in mind, this is like the first 5 months. Like, I'm willing to bet most major comedians you can name off the top of your head did not perform very well in their first year or two, unless they were extremely lucky.
It takes a long time. And granted, like, usually when I see my favorite comedians, they're at a talk show or they're on or something like that. But I have also listened to them just on like normal podcasts. And like, there's just usually they're not just boring and bland for like hours at a time, you know? So I'm just thinking that he, based on what we see on Terrace House, Kai just doesn't seem like stand-up comedy is really like suited for him yet. On what I've seen, he's like a heartthrob. You know, and he like has a deep voice when he speaks Japanese. It gets higher when he speaks English in this episode, just like Armand. But like, I always had like worries when he said that he's only been doing it for 5 months, I guess is my point. And today, this episode 29, I'm really worried now.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jack. I was not very impressed at all with his stuff. And I think that, knowing that he's only been doing it for 5 months, and based on his sort of personality and what we got from his intro interview too, he comes off as this sort of like laid back,
chill
sort
dude.
Of guy. Yeah. And which isn't a bad thing, but it seems like that makes it come across as this is something he decided to do on a whim, because he's like, I don't really know what to do. Oh, I like comedy. I'm just going to kind of roll with this for a while. Not saying he can't be successful in it, because he is still pretty early on. One of the other things that I wanted to bring up, that for some reason, I don't know if this is a big deal or not, but it hasn't been acknowledged, is he's doing an English speaking routine very much rooted in like Western style comedy, like US style comedy in Japan. Like,
yeah,
you know what
and
I'm saying?
I'm like, very, very curious to see like what kind of like venues he goes to.
Yeah. And he's like he's a hafu, right? Or is he all full Japanese?
He's half.
So like, don't you think, I mean, you know, I don't think native Japanese people in Tokyo, Japan, are going to appreciate some dude up on stage that's hafu, that's speaking English, that's saying that Japanese, I hope he doesn't use that joke, Japanese people need to kill themselves. Like, it's not even funny. Like, that seems like he might get some tomatoes thrown at him or something. I don't know.
Right. It's one thing if that was like part of the joke, but that, if that's like the heart of the joke and that's the only line you're going off of, at least based on what we've seen, that's like, whoa.
Like, yeah, like Chris Rock has like, demonstrated. Yeah, Chris Rock has demonstrated that's a funny premise from which comedy can be birthed from, but it can't be the punchline, like, go kill yourself. That shouldn't be the punchline.
Right.
Ooh,
I don't know.
I'm worried.
I'm still thinking, like, we're not going to see him, I think, be... He's not going to knock anything out of the park. If we see, like a full-on, he's in front of people doing a little sketch kind of thing, he's not going to kill it, right? I mean, that's just fact of the matter, right?
I was hoping, and, though.
I don't know, man. I when I heard, oh, he's only 5 months in, he's not going to be funny, period, flat out. That's just kind of how it is, right? It takes a long time, and it takes a lot of failure on the stage for you to build up the right rhythm and the right observations to really be able to nail a stand-up routine, because you're on your own on that stage. There's no one there to help you. There's no one you can bounce off. There's no one who gives you a cue card, right? It's just you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I'm scared slash excited for is we're probably going to get a scene where he bombs. Like, I'm expecting real it. Hard. Real hard. And I think it's probably going to be one of those things where everyone in the house comes to watch him and they're just like, yay, yeah, you did great. So funny.
I just no, they better not.
I really want, he just does one. It's just the people in the house.
Or,
they're cheering in the back. Oh, man. I feel like Hannah's gonna be either totally like, wow, that was great, that was so funny, I couldn't understand most of it because it was, you speak really quickly in English, or she's gonna be totally real with him, like performer to performer, like, you need to work on this, like, no one was vibing with you, like, I'd like to see what kind of relationship they wind up having, because right now, I feel like it's very one-sided in the idea that the same way that Hana was with Haruka, she was just like, oh no, I need a shoulder to cry on and someone to talk to, and that's what she's doing with Kai now, because he was receptive enough to talk about Rio with her.
My two final thoughts on Kai here, right at the top, is that he might actually be a comedic genius and just doing this for Terrace House and just being really weird and awkward, like, while he's being recorded, and then go crush it on stage. And that would be fucking awesome. And that would be comedic genius if that is what he's doing. I don't know, obviously. We'll see. Hopefully we find out. My last thought here is, do you guys remember callback here to Armand, and wasn't it Momo, the ballerina in Boys and Girls in the City? That was the last time we saw any stand-up or any comedy on Terrace House, and that wasn't good either. Come the on, hamburger. Give us some good comedians. Yes, hamburger. That was dumb. That was like a kindergarten joke.
It was Japanese comedy for sure. I mean, it's gonna differ from. I mean, there's a lot of cultural barriers there when it comes to comedy, because, you know, because our comedy is very referential here. You know,
yeah, it's referential.
To a lot of the cultural stuff that we have. So I don't think it's going to hit the same. And that's what I'm scared with Kai, though, is just
he doesn't have the cultural reference.
There's just not going to be a big audience there that speaks English.
I wonder about that. Yeah. I am worried.
You have to narrow it down more. There's not a big audience that necessarily speaks English, but then understands the intricacies of Japanese culture enough to know why there's a link between Japanese salarymen and suicide.
I just hope he just go.
there is a link there in Japanese culture, for real.
Yeah. Well, like, he's talking to a culture that has a word. I can't remember the word, but for working to
Karoshi.
Death. Yeah, thank you. That's how prevalent it is in society. They have a word for it. We don't have a word for that in America because it's so rare. You know,
because Americans don't work hard.
You said it, not me. not me.
Yeah, but Hana comes in, though, right? And she hears part of his performance, but I don't know if she actually, like, processes, like, what he's saying, you know?
She doesn't speak very good English. She was saying, right?
No.
She might need a translator. And he's like, oh, that's a funny part for a bit. And I was like, no, it's not. Don't write that down.
let me put that in my little notebook.
Yeah, I was like, I guess anything can be comedy, but I don't know. I just don't know if he has the instinct for it. But again, if he's playing us and if he's just, like, you know, like, just sandbagging it here on the show and then going to crush it, that's the best case scenario. I hope he's really good. I always hoped it. When I heard he was a comedian, I hoped he would crush it.
Mm. One last thing I do want to leave on this note with Kai, because we're talking about his comedic chops and possibly lack thereof. I think someone posted on the Terrace House subreddit recently about how he has a blog that he's semi-regularly updating, and it's in English. He writes it in English on his site. And this this blog post is the first in like weeks, and he said something along the lines of like he's been focusing a lot on his drawing right now, and he hasn't been focusing on his comedy as much as he'd like to. So that kind of maybe makes me think. I mean, again, what we watched on Terrace House is like months ago, but maybe comedy isn't necessarily his number one priority, unlike Rio with his number one priority. You know,
he was painting too this episode too. So yeah, he needs a hobby, man.
I want to see his art, whichever of those arts it may be.
You see, this is the Puppet Master, and this is the second dimension here. This is outer space, but...
Okay, we'll I don't want to see that bullshit again. Art. I'm sorry. I don't... You know, I'm not on that level.
If you write your name a certain way, you can see my name and your name.
Oh, God. I mean, what I will say, though, is
over
like...
over and over again.
The bits and pieces that we get of Kai in this episode... it seems like he's just someone with a lot of creative energy and not really sure where to direct it. Mm. You know, he's just kind of casting his net wide there. But
he's pulling a Shohei.
Yeah. But what I will say is after Hana walks in, we do get a very large bit of flirting from Kai to Hana.
For sure.
No, that happens later.
Is there later?
We'll get there.
Oh, I got him mixed up.
Yeah.
Next thing here is we're in Ginza in the Ginza Garden Farm, where Hana gets some drinks with her two wrestling girls, Konami and Jungle Kiona.
Ooh.
I love that.
Okay. So this is where Hana gives a lowdown of, yeah, it took Vivi 3 days to basically override my 1.5 month relationship with Ryo. So at least she knows, right?
Ouch.
Jungle Kiona comes in. She comes in with one good piece of advice and one really bad piece of advice. The good one is you're feeling both pain and love right now, but you'll regret it if you run away because of the pain. I think that's fine.
If you run away from love.
Yeah. Did y'all have to dissect that, or can we go into the really bad advice?
I didn't have much to say about it, honestly.
Yeah.
I thought it was... I mean, she is going to, ultimately. I think I said that in the last episode. Like, if she doesn't get this, like, a firm, like, no, then she's never going to be like, what if? She's going to have that in the back of her head forever.
Mm.
And I just appreciate, like, overall, I appreciate that no one, neither Hana nor her friends nor anyone else ever seems to, like, be like, Vivi, that bitch, like, stealing my man. It's never like
no
a competition
attacks.
Between them. There's right. No personal attacks here. It's just like I needed to get his attention sooner, and now someone else is there. I don't blame them for also liking him because I like him, and there's a reason for that. So
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see it not devolve into that cat fightiness, because that was a concern certainly a few episodes back.
But you know what might get Ryo's attention, guys? Just sit next to him, sip some water.
Oh man.
And then put your glass down just a little bit closer to his glass. And if he drinks water and puts it closer to yours, he's totally into you. You're going to get married, have kids.
I actually don't think it's terrible advice in the beginning here. I think it's a little too late for that, though. I think she is just trying to confirm her fears that he isn't into her anymore. You know, that's one way to go about it, but it's definitely not foolproof, but it's like subconscious. Because I definitely think that I would put myself in Rio's shoes in that scenario. Someone was doing that to me. Like, if somebody that I didn't really want to be physically close to was around, I would keep my cup to myself. But if it's like your sitting posture too, it all translates. Like, if you're leaning back, if you're kind of far back, if you're standoffish and just like, you know, distracted, you're not really into the conversation, right? But if you're leaning in, if you're forward, you know, like they tell you to be in a job interview, for instance, you're engaged with that person, you're probably going to put your cup closer to them. Just because it's easier for you that way, you know? So I can kind of see the logic from that advice, and it's so tragic when it plays out later.
Oh, God. Hana just strikes out, and then strikes out again.
Yeah, she's out,
man. Yeah. What I will say, though, there's something I have to rant a little bit about this scene. Oh, was I the only one who was bothered by how obnoxiously loud her and her friends were being? Like, in that restaurant?
Oh,
could you imagine
God.
Being in that restaurant? And you're like sitting in the corner eating your steak or whatever, and all you hear is ah, like just like screaming and yelling, and then you're just like, eh, I just picture someone in the like.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's girls' night, dude. I think they're just being themselves, and they're big personalities too. So I did think, yes, I did think they were loud, but it didn't bother me. Also, I wasn't in that restaurant trying to have a romantic conversation. Who knows? They're probably, I would assume, with Terrace House, it seems like when they go out to eat, they're kind of cordoned off from big crowds.
That,
you know,
that's true. I was just thinking, like, if there was a group like that in a restaurant, and then somebody was else was there, I mean, would they be bothered by the noise?
But also, you don't want to be that guy, like. Pardon me, you know, you don't want to be that guy, man. You just got to match the energy.
I'm trying to eat my steak, and your kid's over here screaming his head off.
Yeah. I mean, especially because all three of them could probably beat the shit out of anyone.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Nobody's.
I work for the governor. What's your name? You're not going to have a job tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Although they would never say that they're female wrestlers. They would say instead that they work in entertainment or I forget what the other one
was. Family business.
Mm-hmm. Family business.
I loved that. That was really funny. I took over the family business.
Yeah, it's sad in a way. Now, here in the West, I've noticed, I don't pay that much attention. Maybe you guys can elucidate me here, but I find that female wrestlers are typically dating male wrestlers too. Someone in the same field. Someone who might, you know, be able to wrap their arms around their broad shoulders like Hana was hoping for, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's typically what happens. But it seems like in Japan, there's female wrestling. It's very much its own thing. And then there's male wrestling, very much its own thing. They don't really come into too much contact together. Maybe they should.
Maybe they should. Insofar as I've seen, though, the fact that Hana's a professional wrestler, I don't think has affected her prospects at all. I don't think that that's something that's like the thing that's holding Ryo back from liking her. I think it's more she's kind of naive for her age. She kind of has a very girlish personality when it comes to love. Definitely. And confessions. So, and that's just not what he's into. But I don't think it's that she's like a wrestler that people are like, ugh, I'm put
she
off. Does.
She thinks that though.
I 100% agree. I think it's because she's a little bit immature is the kind of vibe I get. Like when Kiona laid out the whole master plan, this crazy heist plan to just put cups together, Hana was like, oh my god, that's so erotic. And I'm like, hold on.
Yeah,
okay. Yes. Hold on. Like, are we still in steamy. High school?
What, cups keep 2 inches apart? No, I can't.
Gotta that's have like at least 6 inches kiss. For the holy water.
Yeah, banish the thought. So I guess I'm just sad at the whole situation because it seems like all three of these ladies have negative experience with saying what they do. They have to come up with like secondary explanations to it or just beat around the bush or just not even confess it. Hana said she even does that to guys that are just friends. It doesn't even matter if she's romantically involved. And I just guess that's sad. And I don't know Ryo that well, but he does, I hate to say it, but he does strike me as the kind of guy that it would bother him, whether or not he would admit it. It's just what I gather from Ryo. I don't know. And what we know from this episode, he's just trying to dodge her. You know, from trying to get a date after the Lion King or whatever, he's trying to just skirt it off, you know, but it's a lot of factors, you know, but I guess what I'm saying is that it's not helping her, you know, being a female wrestler, I guess, as well, too. Sad to say. And I just think that's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, though, it's not like you look at Hana and I mean, I don't know. I mean, she may be a little bit more fit than the average person, but it's not like you look at her and just instantly think pro wrestler. At least I don't.
Yeah, I think like dancer or professional entertainer or something like that, especially when she had the pink braids.
Mm. I mean, it's the same with American female wrestlers. Like, if you look at them, it's not like they're all, you know, like swole or anything. Usually they're very petite frames as well. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of hard to say.
You blocked me on Facebook. Prepare to die.
Yep. I forgot that was my theme song.
It took me a second.
That's her theme song.
Yo, do you think Ryo blocked her on Facebook by now? Like in the real world?
I don't know. I hopefully not. Hopefully they're friends. He didn't go on this date with her today, but who knows? He's probably going to let her down, actually. Now that I think about
sure.
it.
I mean, so we go to the Shitro. And then after the Shitro, let's just talk about this really fucking long, awkward scene. Because it's rough. We have Topaz and Hana and Ryo. They're in the kitchen, right? And they're just... Like, Ryo just comes home, and Topaz and Hana are making, like, omelets, right? And then Vivi comes down, and this is where the fun begins. Because they all sit around the kitchen table to just chat, and some of them are eating. And you notice Hana, she goes to get some water, and she asks Ryo, hey, Ryo, do you want water? and she's ignored. And then she's like, she doubles down, like, hey, do you want
love
water?
Birds. Because break it up. Because
I'm
up.
Gonna do a thing with cups later, and it won't work unless you don't have a glass of water.
Yeah, get this water.
You need to drink water.
Let me make a move.
That was pretty funny. And she was like annoyed looking to her face when they were ignoring her because they were talking about glitter on his forehead or something like that. I will just say, I thought it was a good look. The black leather jacket. I liked it. I liked the Mickey Mouse shirt. She was looking like she's there to flirt because she, I guess no one's seen Rio for a long time. They all missed him. And like this whole conversation beginning was just about how bad they missed Rio. Everybody, the guys, the girls, Mr. Popular.
Mm-hmm.
And he smells good.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, you can just tell.
Brought up a lot, doesn't it?
You tell by the way he walks. You know, he smells good.
Yeah.
But Hana then sits next to him, puts her glass right next to his. Well, not very close. But, you know, there are a lot of camera shots of this that are just of the glasses. It's like so apparent, you know, what's happening here, right? And all while this is happening, the discussion about, hey, Rio, what are you doing tomorrow comes up. Are you doing anything in the evening? And Rio says, no, but actually, yes, Lion King the musical, but it starts at 1 and ends at 3. Like, it's just so...
He's trying to be delicate about it, and he's not at all.
Yeah. No, yeah, he... Wow.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you want to, like, shake Hana and be like, read the room, read what's happening. But in her defense... Right before the whole awkwardness happens, Ryo is very interested, and he's like, oh my gosh, show me your nails. Show me, like, you just got your nails done. Let me see. Spread them out. I want to see. And it's like, it's those little things that I'm sure she holds on to, because he is a really nice guy, and, like, they do have a good rapport. So I think it's that stuff that overshadows the awkward, like, I probably can't go to dinner kind of stuff that... is why she's still doing what she's doing.
But that overshadowing is overshadowed once again when Hana comments about Rio smelling good, but then Vivi's like, let me smell, and then Rio gets up, outstretches his arm.
Yeah, across
the table.
The
table. Yeah. So Vivi can then stretch herself over the table and smell him. And Hana, I think, I can't keep count of how many different expressions on... Yeah. Hana's face, the whole scene, it goes from happy to sad to like doom and
surprise,
gloom to like
shocked, horny. it was a spectrum for sure. I think that there's just a lot going on here at this table too, because Hana just out of the blue brings up like, hey Rio, if you like somebody ... you know, like all these like kind of like probing questions, and then it gets directed to Vivi as well. I think Topaz and Vivi are talking, and Vivi says, you know, if you had asked me a week ago, I would have said I would have been aggressive, hint, 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 but now I'm just scared to get hurt. She gets so embarrassed, she has to get up and go to the bathroom right after she says that, and then Rio, the look on his face is like, he knows she's referring to him. It's just like, wow, she is putting herself out there.
Alternative take, do you think Vivi's worried that Hana will be the one that hurts her? With violence after
physical violence,
a suplex.
I think they're friends now. It's weird. Like they're like at the end of this episode, we'll get there. But like they all have this like common bond of Rio not being a man to them. I guess is the best way to put it.
She does not hold it against her whatsoever, which I think is good.
It's nice to see.
I will say though, if Hana was going to inflict physical violence on Vivi, it would have been at the end of this episode.
Yeah, probably. But I don't know. Overall, this whole scene was just awkward because you see Hana trying to court Rio and it fails horribly right in front of Vivi, right? And Vivi's just watching this like, I know I'm winning, but this still hurts to watch, right? That's kind of the look on her face. And it's like, that's a really rough situation to be in for everyone involved. And it makes me wonder if Topaz is picking up the hints, like if he's reading the room at all,
totally,
like if he knows. Yeah, I wonder if he's aware of the meta narrative that's happening.
I'll bet
now.
You, yeah, in his head, I'll bet you it's just like, everyone here is older than me. They have the final say. That's all he can process.
In his head, man, it's a shame that Ryo is going to be too busy tomorrow. Like, he's just earnestly like, man, that's too bad, man, that they can't get dinner tomorrow.
It's all going over his head. Yeah, and I just, you know, with that, with her putting the glass down, you know, she's also, like, doing the side eye, right? This weird, creepy side eye to Ryo, just seeing, just observing what he's going to do with his glass. And it, I think, gets put further away, so she kind of has her answer there.
It's true. There you go. But she's still curious.
I would also like to bring up, I think it's in this scene where we actually have Vivi ask Emika about Topaz and what's going on between them. She's like,
Emika's
I think
not
she
at
says
the table.
That's also later.
That's also later. Man, I keep getting my timeline messed up.
It's okay. A lot of this episode happens in this room.
It's true.
Kitchen living room area.
Yeah.
But let's see here. I think Topaz goes upstairs and then it's just Hana and Ryo. They're cleaning the dishes, right? And then Vivi comes back downstairs, and it's at this point Hana just kind of like jets. She just leaves. Meanwhile, Vivi's like, oh, I'm so cold. And then you notice her rub, I think, like Ryo's arm. Just like, do you feel how cold my hands are?
Yeah. She touches it. Like, check it out. Yeah. Physical touch. Yeah. She missed him, man. She really missed him. And then she reveals later that she was saving Mondays because some droopy-eyed guy told her that he was only free on Mondays. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but do you guys know who she's talking about?
It's so thick.
It's totally a thing here, though, guys. The boyfriend hoodie is a thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And they want it to smell like you, basically. You know, exactly. It was such a flirt.
That scene at the kitchen sink where she's like, I'm cold. I feel how cold I am. He's like, don't you have a hoodie? And she's like, yeah, I brought hoodies with me. But all of them are super thin, you know, like, and he's, and you, I was just like waiting, and he's like, she's dropping major hints, and he's like, well, I mean, I have a hoodie. Maybe you could borrow one.
She moves so fast because she's like, they want to have like matching necklaces. Now she wants to wear the hoodie. It's like, they haven't even gone on a date. Am I mistaken? They've had two talks on the couch. That's it.
They've had two super horny talks, and sometimes that's more than any date can do.
Sure, but boyfriend hoodie time? I mean, wow. And she's like, I hope it smells like you. I would like it if it smells like you. Don't wash it. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And then she's like, when I give it back, it'll probably smell like me. And he does the move. He does, like putting a hoodie up to your face and sniffing it. And I was like, oh. Because for some of this conversation, I'm like, he almost seems uncomfortable with, like, how thick she's laying it on, but in that moment it was like, okay, this is mutual.
I don't like the way Ryo does that kind of stuff. I don't know, I don't like the way he did his hair flip, even though that was so cute and that worked for her and she watches it every night before she goes to bed now. I just don't know, I don't like the way Ryo's been flirting lately. I think he was better at it before, but he's like a fan of the high five too, and I'm starting to get the sense now that he uses maybe he thinks of this is like a tell that he doesn't even know about, you know, like professional poker players, they have tells that they're just it's just unconscious. I think when Ryo high fives somebody, that's almost a bad sign here, because he high fived Emika when Emika was coming on to him close, didn't go anywhere, and it seemed like he did it out of embarrassment here today to Vivi. Like, she said something like super forward, he's like, put his head down, he's like, okay, high five me, and it didn't seem like it was a warm reception, I guess.
Do you think that's from basketball? You know, like at the end of a match, you walk by the opposing team players, you high five each other, like, good game. Good game. Like, for him, that's like internally in his head, like, the high five is something that I reserve for people I will never love.
Maybe. It just now that I see it the second time, the way he did it today, I don't think the high five is a good sign. But I could be wrong too, because he did ask her to go up to the playroom afterwards. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt what I'm saying here.
What I will say though is it came across to me that I think Ryo was taken aback by how strongly she was come on. Like, it was almost like disbelief or something like that, or shock or something. It was...
He seemed embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't know what to do.
A little flustered. We talk about him like he's a really smooth guy, because he is very popular. He's Mr. Popular. He has all these girls coming on to him. But maybe he doesn't know what to do once, like, a girl is coming on to him. And he actually wants to reciprocate that. But it was thick, because she was like, well, my future plans involve moving to America. You said you wanted to move to America. You would want to move. Maybe we can move together.
Oh, that was like, rough, girl, too. Yeah, now we're going to move in. Yeah, let me meet your parents. Like, dude, nothing ruins it worse than moving too fast, I guess. They haven't even gone on a date yet. And it doesn't matter. I can tell you, it does not matter how beautiful a girl is or anything like that. If things move too fast, I mean, timing is such a key ingredient here, you know? And so it's just, like I said earlier, too, another episode that I get the sense that Rio's kind of the guy that almost just feels like he wants to be able to know that he can if he wants to, which is shitty. But I can see that playing out here, too, as well. You know, when he said that basketball is his number one priority. I mean, of course it is. But that's going to be difficult for Vivi to accept, too, with her feelings currently.
And this whole shebang is also difficult for Hana to accept. Oh, I think it's time for us to talk about the pink-haired elephant in the rafters.
In the rafters. Pink-haired elephant in the rafters.
Because this is edited so well for the show. Oh. It's just throughout the scene where Ryo and Vivi are sort of flirting, and maybe Vivi's coming on a little more strongly than Ryo, you get a shot that's looking up into, like, I guess a window kind of thing from the second floor to the first.
From the girls' room, empty. I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's empty for like a half second. And then, whoop, peering up, there's Hana. There's
Dude, I heard a pipe whistle when that happened. That
Yeah, it was not subtle at all. And Ryo saw her. And it was hilarious. 100%. It's like, you can't miss her with that. And he said with that pink hair, it's a dead giveaway. Come on.
Dude, this is something that comes straight out of a rom-com. Like, this, that legit felt like a rom-com movie starring Adam Sandler.
Totally.
I almost fell off the couch. I was laughing so hard.
I don't know what she expected. Like, she was going to catch him making out or, like, what?
It was awkward. Yeah. I hope she's, like, getting some lessons here as well, too, on, like, maybe not good lessons, but, like, I mean, maybe she's learning some things. Like, Vivi is being forward. She's the one that's seizing the initiative, you know. I guess it's just going to take Hana like a lot more experience though to get to that comfort level though. But Hana's just like super, super shy girl, you know, not even used to being around guys. She can barely look at him, you know, without smiling or talk to him. She can't even handle Kai, a guy who she doesn't even like telling her that she's pretty, without like blushing and putting the pillow in front of her face and all that too, you know. So I don't know. It's life's cruel, man. Life is cruel sometimes, and it certainly is not kind to Hana, particularly when she goes back downstairs and tries to ask Ryo out a second time.
Yes, but before we get to that, I kind of want to shift the conversation here, because they interrupt the scene with a panel discussion. They kind of break the scene in half, right, to visit the panel and see what they're doing. And one thing I wanted to highlight with this panel segment is I think at least for me, I've found my new favorite guest panelist, because there was a point where I kind of didn't realize Chiemi hasn't been on the panel this whole time.
Right.
Like, she was integrated so well. She just spoke her mind about everything that was happening. It almost felt like she was at home on that couch.
She's passionate about Terrace House, and it shows. She's like a huge fan of the show. Mm-hmm. And so she definitely doesn't stray away from sharing her mind. I think when she talks about Ryo might be more interested in being assertive instead of like being chased, I think that rings true. Like, I mean, we see that when he's extremely flustered on the couch, like he doesn't know what to do. You know what I mean? He's completely taken aback. He's so used to being the one chasing. So I think that she made a great point.
She's a diehard fan. I think she said earlier too, that she's seen every episode of Terrace House on Earth. Assuming that includes BGND as well too. And like us, like so many people we know, so many stories we've heard, she was scared to start watching Terrace House because she knew that she would go all in and be glued instantly, and that happens to everybody almost.
Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to the fandom.
Yes. I liked her on the panel, though. I think she did a great job. I wonder if she'll be on more. Like you said, Robert, she might be on the next one, but we'll see beyond that. I'm glad they're bringing replacements in for Tokui, too. They're not just keeping it empty and just talking to the plant the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing I wanted to side note here, too, that I never thought about before was, like, so when they bring these guest panelists on, they have to, like, catch them up on scenes that haven't been released yet, right? So they're current. Think about it, because when they sit down and record the panel segments, they have to be current as to what's happening in the house. Otherwise, they're going to be missing stuff.
Yeah,
right. They'd be probably like 6 weeks behind.
Probably.
Yeah.
I wonder if they get like an early screening, or maybe if they just get like cliff notes. Yeah, just a quick little. Oh,
I think it would be funny even if they just sent them in blind. Like last time I saw, it was like, Ruka was here. Wait, Ruka's gone? Who's this?
Who are you people?
No, get this shit. Ruka actually makes good pasta now.
Oh, damn.
But yeah, to revisit, to go back to that scene, right, where Hana comes back downstairs, Emika comes downstairs. So now it's Ryo, Hana, Emi, and Vivi chilling on that couch.
Yeah.
You have Hana right next to Ryo.
Also, real quick, though, before that happens, I think Emika and Kai come home and they just like happen to run into each other walking in. They weren't together, but Kai was just like dripping wet. And I thought it was really funny, the look on his face.
Was it raining?
Yeah.
Had there been.
Yeah, they commented that, like, oh, it's raining so much you can hear it inside.
But back to the point, though, Hana, this was so sad. This is where dreams go to die. It's just like, oh my gosh, like, how much do you want to, like, bludgeon yourself with rejection, lady? Like, she sits down, she's like, so, to pick up our conversation from the dining room table, you're getting off at 3, you're with your friend, my match is over at noon, let's do this. And he's just like, oh, opie, pub, that's crazy.
Yeah, just completely interrupts the conversation to listen to this conversation happening on the other side of the couch.
So brutal.
Like, that was like his reprieve, because he was like literally like, well, it's 1 hour and 20 minutes, so then that means it's 3 o'clock. Like, boy was trying to do some quick math to be like, this isn't gonna work. He just should have said like, oh, my friend and I, we were already supposed to get dinner, but he shot himself in the foot by saying like, oh, it ends at 3. So he left himself open and then grabbed onto the first thing that he could, which was Opie bar.
Grab on, literally. So is that like titty bar? Can you?
Oh, it's far more than just a titty bar.
Is it?
Right? It's a titty bar. But so it's more than just a strip club. Opie
means boobs.
Right. Well,
thank you.
Opie means boobs.
So you know.
Yeah, so it's not a strip club, right? It's not like you all gather around with your friends in sweatpants and watch a girl dance. Basically, imagine a normal bar, and you're sitting at a table with your other friends across the table next to you, right? And you're all just drinking beers, you're having fun, but also all of you have a hot Japanese girl sitting on your lap without her shirt on, or maybe a bra on, or maybe nothing on.
Really?
And you get to touch anything above the belly button.
How do you know all this?
Wikipedia.
So Emika has always been accused of being the high class escort. You know, and so she's the one bringing this up. I wonder if this is like maybe like, hey, I'm thinking of applying. I just wonder what context this was brought up by, because it seemed to all stem from Emika.
What if that's her part-time job?
There's a lot of what ifs here. There's a lot of what ifs. So here's a secondary, what do we call these? Conspiracy theory? Who is this mysterious friend that Ryo is going to Lion King with on a Monday afternoon on his one day off? This does not seem to me like a, hey, bro, my 7'8" center who I work out with and play basketball with, let's go watch the Lion King. This seems like a romantic kind of date. I mean, granted, it is in the middle of the day, but he doesn't have any kids. He's single. Imagine what this man's DMs look like at this stage of Terrace House. He's got to be having every single Japanese and maybe some married Japanese women throwing their asses at him in his DMs. You don't know what this guy's doing outside of the house. He's very keen on not going on any dates with Hana or really Emika anymore. And it's questionable if he wants to do it with Vivi at this stage. We'll see, because they never went on that museum date, and I was hoping for that, and maybe they will. But that's my thing. It's like, he might be dating outside of the house. This doesn't sound like a homeboy Monday.
That's illegal.
I know.
You can't do that.
Yeah, Terrace House will arrest you.
They banned that after Taka.
This is terrible. But
I think
is anyone else asking that question? Like, what are you doing, Lion King Monday, 3 o'clock?
What if he just likes musical theater, man? Ryo's a multifaceted dude.
Dude,
he could like a lot of things. He likes museums.
He seems like cultured. A playboy to me, man. Mr. Popular. He seems, especially at the end of this episode when girls are literally crying about him. I don't know, man.
I want to believe he's just kind of stumbling into it. I really want to believe that. He seems like a genuine enough dude.
I don't know, man. I have my doubts after this episode, because, okay, so he basically shuts Hana down again for like a second time in a weird way. She gets a hint. She goes upstairs, right, with Kai to talk in the playroom. And then we have one of the most flirty fucking, even they're cranking up the heat even more. Or at least Vivi's trying to. With Ryo saying, I look forward to you coming home. I mean, what other quotes came out of this scene? She's basically like throwing herself at him. And I was so disappointed in his reaction, just like Tori-chan, just like you. I was like, what the fuck, dude? She's sitting there pouring her heart out to you, and you're just like, I feel sleepy.
But at the same time, that's a lot, dude. They, again, they have that's not been out on a date yet. That's she is true. Throwing a lot of feelings and stuff at him just from a few talks they've had on the couch.
But it's
unless
like,
there's more here that we don't know about, like, that's, no matter who you are, that's just a lot.
I guess I just wish that they had some kind of date on the docket, on the slate.
Let's I can't believe they don't have something on the calendar yet.
Like, I do think, yes, I do think Vivi is moving a little bit too fast. Like, I don't know how I would react to if somebody's throwing themselves at you like that much, you know, because it is disappointing when it's just like too easy in a way. You're like, oh, well, I guess this girl just really loves me. Like, she's basically saying, she's basically confessing here on the couch here. And so maybe he's like, I'm only speculating here, but maybe he's like getting disappointed. Like, oh no, don't be like one of those. Don't be like all the other girls that do this. I want to like you more. I don't know. It's possible, I guess.
I don't know. I think with just how strong Vivi's coming on, I think that it reached a point where, like, you know how you can never drink too much water, but then once you do, you're drowning and you die. I think that there's,
yeah.
What?
There's a point. Yeah, there's a point where you're flirting a lot and it's like, oh man, this girl's into me. And then you're flirting too much. And then you're like, okay, what's her damage? You know, like,
yeah,
you start to think, is there something extremely wrong with me or extremely like something is wrong in this situation? And I don't feel good about pursuing it right now. I think that's the situation Ryo might be finding himself in. I think part of it is because it seems like to me that Ryo is really awkward around feelings. Or
lest
love.
We forget, feelings. Yeah. Lest we forget, like on top of all of this, she very much compared him in a lot of different ways to her ex.
Mm-hmm. You're like my
that
ex.
That might be uncomfortable. That might be a little much for him at this stage. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering too. No, go ahead. Yeah,
no, I was just gonna say that I wonder if that's kind of what's giving him the stoplight in his head. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, she's doing all this because I remind her of her ex.
Oh, that could be a blocker. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. They even talked about, like, it's coming up. Either it's happening now or it's coming up here in a couple scenes. But they talked about, okay, like, what are next steps? What are plans? They were talking about, like, life stuff, you know? And I life feel stuff. Like that was maybe, like, kind of, like, maneuvering around to see, like, the viability of this as a date thing. And she talked about, you know, they've already discussed, you know, going back to America. And like Daly said earlier this episode, like, hey, you want to come with me, move in with me or whatever. That's a bit much too, but he said he had like outlined some plans, but he also said that he doesn't want to retire from basketball anytime soon either. So it almost made it sound like he's like, yeah, I'll move to America, but I can't play basketball there. So I'd have to retire. So I'm going to stay here in Japan as long as I can while I can still play basketball. That's what it kind of seemed like to me. But he did have it in his head that he wants to move to America at some point, just not play basketball here for whatever reason. Maybe he just has, you know, reconcile that he doesn't have what it takes to be in the NBA, perhaps, which I don't know. He looks real good to me.
Yeah, he does. I think my final word on Vivi so far is that a lot of what she's starting to say is looking like red flags to me.
It's coming on strong.
Starting to look like red flags to me.
The biggest red flag for me with Vivi on this whole episode, aside from the fact that all this is being said, like, how long has she been here? Not very long. Like, but regardless of that, she's like...
Like a week, that's right.
Yeah, like a week.
I mean, like 3 weeks, but yeah.
Yeah, but she has like... She has this weird problem out of nowhere with being like, oh, wow, Ryo is really into basketball. Like, that's his number one priority. It's like, yeah, it is. It's his life. Like, I don't know why she went in here and was like, this is making me think critically now. And that she says that out loud and everything.
Yeah, she is. She does not hold anything back. She lets it all out there. And I just feel really bad for Hana almost this whole episode because, like, she's going to watch this episode. Obviously, she's putting it out there. And Ryo seems like very concerned with, like, not hurting anybody. But, dude, what do you think is going to happen when this episode came out? Because Hana's literally upstairs talking with Kai in the playroom about this very issue you know, about how upset she is, about how he's ignoring her, but she still wants to see it through. Kai's trying to like console her and say she looks hot. No, you really look hot. You're cute. And she is. And she has, and he has really good advice for her too. Like, listen, if someone's not going to like recognize how awesome you are as a person, they don't deserve you. And that is so true. But
yes,
at the same time of this awesome conversation, the supportive thing happening upstairs in the playroom with Hana, downstairs now, Ryo is literally talking to the girl that Hana's most worried about, Vivi. What do you do when you got to let somebody down? You know, what do you, would you go out with somebody if they asked you and you didn't want to go with them? And then Vivi would say, well, and he goes, you know who I'm talking about. Oh my gosh, that's so mean. And then Vivi goes, well, yeah, if you allow me to just be honest, like, I don't want you to go out with that person. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Scathing.
That, yes. That to me is where I think Vivi crossed the line in my head where it's like, You're playing too many roles and being very greedy, right? Because you can't be flirting with the boy and then become the confidant of the boy and then cross the streams and give him advice that directly benefits you. You know, at that point, your values are compromised, right?
This, like, I mean, she did say, yeah, though, when she was giving advice that benefits herself, she did acknowledge that.
Right. And that's at least fair. But at that point, you just have to be more like, you probably shouldn't talk to me about this for very obvious reasons.
Yeah, you're totally right. And but then she turns around and gives someone like Topaz like great life advice. So
yeah,
I don't know.
She doesn't want to bone him.
Yeah, I'm just exactly. But I'm just a very divided on Vivi right now, man. I really am.
I'm surprised at her.
Yeah, I'm surprised that keep saying they haven't even gone on date one yet. They've just talked on the couch and it's already in his face. It is moving too fast. I just don't.
They're like probably a year into a relationship in a week.
So we have our doubts about them at this phase based on Rio's kind of lukewarm response. But at the same time, he's like, hey, are you tired? No, I was going to stay up for a while. Do you want to go up to the playroom? And I've been saying this with every couple all Tokyo 2019, 2020 is like, go up and cuddle and watch some movies or play some games or get close. Close the proximity down to flirt. And finally, Ryo, it seems like he's like, hey, let's go up to the playroom. Who knows what's going to happen up there? But I was like, oh, he wants to progress this a little bit because he really, you know, after her saying she doesn't want him to go, you know, I think it really just like, okay, I can't be beat over the head with this hammer anymore, this love hammer. Like, okay, let's go upstairs and cuddle and see what happens. I would assume they'd probably make out. But what do they find when they go up there? Because the camera cuts back up to the playroom.
God.
Yeah.
Pain. Pain.
It cuts up to Kai and Hana, right? And I do love how this all started with Kai is presumably just, I guess, has he been in that room all day practicing his comedy? Is that kind of like the
he's never left.
It seems like
he comes across that.
What was like the second time that was bad? It was I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember it because all he was saying was like fuck and shit and fucking and goddamn shit and fuck all the time.
The way you cuss too, it was like gratuitous. Like you know what I mean? It didn't even seem natural. Like he can't really speak naturally yet. It was like, well, Chris Rock does this, so I'm going to color by the numbers here. That's totally what it seemed like.
Yeah. And like between the curses, I got vibes of something like he's talking about, and then you're with your family and then there's a family over there eating fucking food and I'm like, how is this funny? Like people eat food. Yes, that's what happens. Like that's what
guys,
food is for.
Fucking food.
Can you fucking believe that they are fucking eating over there? They should fucking kill themselves.
Like I'm sure like I'm sure it's just a setup for a premise and I'm sure we're jumping the gun here, but man, get to your point faster.
It's so bad that I want to believe it's purposeful to like our MacGuffin here, you know, like this is like he's just throwing this out here and now he's like, well, they'll see my real routine.
I wonder if he's gonna start telling like the punchline and an ending to every one of the stories that he tells is somebody killing themselves.
Yes.
Oh no.
every joke ends with and then somebody killed themselves. That could be funny.
My God.
That could be funny.
That could be funny.
And his Netflix live show is like killed him. Killed the crowd.
In the right hands, that could be funny. I don't know.
I was half expecting him to tell Hana, it's like, yeah, if you don't think you're cute, you should kill yourself.
Oh, jeez.
Like, Jesus.
Now's not the time for anyone to say that.
No, but that'd just be a joke, you know?
That's just, yeah, it's just a joke.
It's a funny joke.
Man. It's just a prank, bro.
He's never done anything funny in this house at all. I just don't know why he thinks. Liking comedy is not the same as doing comedy. It's not the same.
To be fair, we have been laughing about him.
Yes.
About him. Around him. Or maybe.
Perpendicular to him. Yeah.
Perpendicular. Our laughing has been Kai adjacent.
Wow. So we're laughing at him, not with him. Is that that's all you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to reserve judgment. I want to see, like, the proper thing actually set forth, because maybe after that he was like, oh my God, I can't believe I was saying that. Yeah, That's not funny at all.
Maybe he's workshopping it. Maybe I'm hoping he's going to polish it up and get his timing down and stuff like that, but he's got a lot of work to do. I hope it ain't tomorrow his routine.
Yeah. He seems like a good dude, though. That's my disclaimer. Yeah. He seems like a good dude. And I think he means well.
I like the way he picked up Hana. I like the way that he kept insisting on speaking in English, and she was like, stop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was like, just don't speak in English. Gotcha.
He was
tell me more.
I want them together.
He
I
was
think they,
being a good friend. Good yeah, I like them. Yeah. I like them as a couple. I really do. I hope they have chemistry. Hana's just way too focused on Ryo right now, so she's not even looking at Kai as a man, really. But Kai's being that friend, that shoulder, that rock. He's giving her good advice. I think he's just being honest and being sincere for the most part. I don't think he's like, oh, this girl's vulnerable, I'm going to pounce. I don't get that sense from him.
I didn't even read it as like him trying to flirt, like you said earlier, Colin. But I can see where you get that for sure. But like, he just seemed really genuine, like just trying to like cheer her up.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. But I think that's like doing it with an ulterior motive of winning points.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I bet he did. Yeah.
I think he's still in the phase of like, this could just be a friendship. Like, I'm not willing to jump to the point where he's thinking, like, can't wait to bone down, right?
I mean, he liked Vivi, and this kind of just got a thread that just got dropped. Like, okay, he likes Vivi. Vivi went on that date with him. Nothing else happened, and now he's just painting in the room. I'm not going too far back, but he's painting in the room, and now he just has to hear Vivi talk about how much she likes Ryo. So he's just picking up the hint now. So I hope he's dropped anything with Vivi at this stage.
No, the vibe I got from him right now, he's just, it's a very like non-pandering Yas queen kind of vibe, you know, like you're funny, you're cute, you're everything, right? Like, he said literally you're everything.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty strong, right?
I'm everything.
Yeah.
And she needs to hear it right now because her confidence is so low.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while all of this is happening, Ryo and Vivi walk in.
Hey, I've never been in this room before. Vivi again. What is with all these people that don't know the house they live in? But yeah, that's her first time there. I guess she's only been there a week, but they play it off and to varying degrees of success here. Everyone is playing off this Mexican standoff we're now finding ourselves in the playroom. Yeah,
this is an awkward scene because I love how Kai asks, like, oh, what are you guys doing here? And Vivi's like, we just wanted to see how you're doing. And it's like, really?
Yeah, we wanted to see.
Really? Dude, y'all have been, y'all have been flirting
about?
Downstairs.
Talking about love?
Yeah, flirting downstairs this whole time. And then all of a sudden they're like, I wonder how Kai's doing in the playroom.
You know,
let's check it out.
You know Hana knows that they were trying to be alone. You know it beyond doubt. Yeah. And Kai's like, oh, and he just kind of outs Hana. He's like, you know, we're talking about love. Like, he didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
But he wanted to be open.
It needed to be said. We need to stop beating around the bush, and I appreciate him for that.
Fair enough. Mm. Fair enough for that. And then Hana's like, no, we weren't. No, we weren't. He's like, and then he's leaning off. He's like, don't put that shit on me in English. That's pretty funny.
I like that. It
was good. Yeah. Yeah, and this was just
start speaking English again.
Yeah, I mean, Kai and Ryo have a little bit of an English conversation here. This is where, you know, Ryo reveals, oh, basketball is my number one priority, right? And I think that was a really baller, pun intended, I guess, move from Kai to, like, at this point, this entire area is awkward, like, ground zero. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the worst. So I'm glad he directed his question at Ryo, and it was about anything but love, you know?
Hey, so basketball.
Yeah, he's trying to skirt it, but I think I really think Vivi and Ryo were gonna mac down up there.
I got that feeling.
Totally
too.
Is where that
Definitely
was going.
Not say
but
wrong.
Then but then it got really fucked up because now they're talking and Hana's there, it's awkward. But now it's Ryo talking about how love or a girl isn't his priority right now. And if we flash back weeks and weeks ago, Ryo said to Hana, or maybe just last week, he said to Vivi that the next girl he dates, he wants it to be the mother of his children. And then I said, well, it's going to be impossible for you to date anybody then if that's the high bar that you're looking for here. They have to be the mother of your child because arguably his popularity has probably never been higher. And like I said, think about what his DMs look like right now. All the girls hitting him up on Instagram or whatever. Like, I'm sure he has more choice now than ever of anyone today. He's like the heartthrob of Japanese reality TV at when this was on TV, probably.
Well, you'd have to think that that's part of the Terrace House bump, too, for a lot of the guys that come on the show.
Everybody,
the
girls everybody.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. So that just comes with the territory. I mean, I'm sure the people hit them up and be like, oh, my God, date me, please.
Yeah, you know? Probably the weirdos.
Yeah.
But this, instead of it being like this really high moment where they might make out Vivi and Ryo, now it's like, oh, well, Vivi's thinking about this critically, right, as Daly brought up. Oh, well, I have to think about this. And then she said to Kai, what you just said really motivated me. I thank you for that. Gave me inspiration. Thank you for bringing that up, is the quote. And it's like, what she means there is like, I need to back off of Ryo. I need to focus more on myself. That's how I read that with Vivi. So good for her, because that's probably the best course of action.
I think so, too. I hope that leads to them, like, slowing things down.
Please.
Slow down. Going out. Yeah.
No, you notice
someone
that.
Hit the brakes here.
Yeah, you notice that in the final scene of this episode, actually, Vivi kind of opens up a bit about that. But before we do, I do want to turn our hands back to the panel real quick in their final interjection on this episode. And I love how Tori misses Ruka. The simple times when it was just Ruka in the house, right? Because now everything's very complicated. If anything, if this past like hour of us talking has illuminated anything for you, is that this episode is full of complicated motivations from like at least four random people.
Yeah.
Things were simpler when we just wanted to be Spider-Man.
Exactly. I think Ruka would be like, hey, I like Vivi too, guys.
Yeah, he'd be like, I think I like Vivi now.
I gotta say, though, I prefer this much better to the first, to part one. Part three is sizzling hot right now. This is the best part so far.
Well, I will say, entertainment value-wise, like, this is top tier.
Everyone.
This batch of episodes.
There's not very many boring people in the house left. I guess Topaz so far, but he had all last week.
Yeah, last week.
So he's not boring.
Was...
Yeah, like, no one's boring in the house right now. Emika, maybe. I don't know. She's not even that boring. Props. No. They're good. It's a good group of six.
Hell yeah. I also want someone to gif that shot of Yama when, like, after Yu says Viscuit, when she says Vivi and Basket, and then Yama does a Viscuit, and he's like fucking jostling his shoulders.
Oh, man. I want that. Yeah, because
you're creeping out my daughter.
He needs to focus on Vivi and basketball. Viscuit ball, I guess. Viscuit. I don't know. That's pretty good.
I thought she said biscuit at first, like, you know, risk it for the biscuit, I guess. I don't know.
Risk it for the biscuit.
For the biscuit. But now we're in the final scene of this house, this episode, and it's the kitchen, and we have Vivi, Emmy, and Kai. This is where Kai's painting off to the side, and Vivi and Emmy are just chatting at the kitchen, right? And this is where Vivi gets a little bit introspective, and she thinks, okay, I've noticed that I always tell myself I have a priority, but then once I fall for a guy, they become my priority and I lose myself in them. And then eventually, because I burn so hard, I fizzle out very quickly.
Dude, that was mad relatable to me, because whenever I fall hard too, I do tend to lose, like, focus on myself and focus on the other person. And whew, that was just ringing real true to me. It was painful to hear. Doesn't seem like the way to go. Seems like you should just focus on yourself the whole time. Maybe is the lesson to take away. I don't know.
Be like Ryo. He focuses on himself and basketball.
Guess so.
Yeah, relationships make you make dumb decisions, y'all.
It sounds like a lot of people have been hurt on this podcast.
There's a lot of hurt.
There's a lot of love, too.
Poor Hana. Hana's feeling the hurt really bad.
Needs
hugs. So,
well, she had to get
this episode.
She had to get publicly rejected in a quiet kitchen with let's see, Emika, Vivi, and Kai was there, right? Doing dishes.
Yeah.
And she's
Kai
at the table.
The side,
and for some reason she's on speakerphone. Who recommended this? Is
she
this
FaceTimed?
She FaceTimed
him.
Oh,
FaceTimed him.
Yeah, she did.
Like, was that for effect there? I mean, who would do that? I would be by myself somewhere. I might not even be in the house.
I don't know.
Yeah. And again, this feeds into the idea that I think Hana still likes to be the center of attention if she can.
As a wrestler, that's what she does all day, every day. She's an entertainer. Maybe.
Right, but like you said, Jack, she could have totally just gone up to the girls' room to do this, or the playroom, or wherever, right? And do this on her own.
She even brought up, she was like, I was supposed to see Ryo, but he hasn't texted me. Like, apropos of nothing, just walking in, like, Ryo hasn't texted me.
I'm not convinced either that Ryo's not with another woman right now. I think that is completely possible. He's just his friend. Going to see Lion King on a Monday. That's a girl. Come on.
No, come on. It could just be two dudes who like musical theater.
In a hot tub? Let's bring this hot tub.
You can go see musical theater with your bros.
Yeah, bro musical theater.
I'm sorry, dude. Lion King, middle Monday. No chance is my
opinion. Have you seen Lion King the musical?
I want to, but you know what? When I go the first time, it ain't gonna be with a dude.
Would you not go with
a
bro?
No, I would not go with a bro. I ain't gonna bro down on Lion King.
I'm just saying, man, you're missing out.
Hey, Jack, do you want to go see Lion King next week?
Oh,
you know what? Maybe now if it was on. Like, if it could open up society. I mean, okay.
Well, it's like, well, actually.
But yeah, no, Hana here, she builds this narrative that I don't understand, right? Because she walks in real sad, but has a wrestler makeup on, right? And then she says the whole, like, I was supposed to get dinner with Ryo. He hasn't seen my texts. He hasn't even read them.
Oh, wait,
I have missed calls from him. How the fuck do you notice that he hasn't read your texts, but not notice missed calls? Missed calls.
It happens.
Yeah,
to
what
the best
the
of us.
Fuck? Was she too nervous to answer and get rejected?
Yeah, I'm calling bullshit here. That's very like,
maybe,
pay attention
hold
to
on.
Why
so maybe
sad.
She had Do Not Disturb on. That happens to me all the time. I miss shit. Was he not disturbed on? I'm just saying. I don't know if it was purposeful.
I'm just saying, once you have the information in your head enough to like say it out loud to people, I imagine you probably have the same information that's like, I missed a call.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
You've seen your phone. I don't know. To me, it felt very
it
like,
happened.
Yeah.
She gets rejected. She goes upstairs to kind of sulk and change, she says. And then something interesting here, we brush on it. But it's just Vivi and Emika by themselves. And Vivi says to Emika, hey, I want you and Topaz to get together. And and Emika says, yes. I don't know if that's going to happen. That was kind of like, oh.
That was surprising.
I thought they were going in a good direction. But she said, I'm not so sure about that. But
she's just genuinely unsure.
Sure.
It could be a hopeful unsure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's happening yet. I don't know where we're going with this. I don't know how I feel. I don't know how he feels. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
But do you also wonder if maybe word got around the house that, Topaz got really drunk last night and he went on this whole tirade about how he hasn't felt love before. And you think if Emika heard that through the grapevine, maybe that's what's making her be like.
I hope she's not that judgmental. So Hana comes back downstairs from changing. And Vivi says something along the lines like, you look cute. And that's kind of what sets... Or she says her makeup's cute or something like that. And that's what sets Hana off. She's like, well, I look cute, but I can't get a date. And it was so brutal. And then they all bonded. And then Vivi even said, like, yeah, I know how you feel. Oh, it was painful. She turns around. She breaks down in front of Emika. It turns around. Hana cries on her shoulder. And that's the last frame.
Yeah. But the dam just breaks open.
Basically, this is a Monday. Keep in mind that Vivi was keeping open for Ryo, because some droopy-eyed guy said that he only has Mondays off, so she moved all her shit. She cleared her slate for Monday. He's out Lion King with, I think, another woman. He's not coming home because now he's going to dinner with said woman, who I'm inventing in my head. And
yes.
Yeah. And now this is where we lay. All three of the girls are there Monday. They were missing Ryo, and now he's ignoring all of them. And it's kind of crazy. I really think that the fact that there were people in the playroom there when Ryo and Vivi went upstairs really threw a wrench in the whole thing. I mean, that's one of those like butterfly effect moments almost where I feel like if they went up there and kissed, it would go one direction. But since what happened, it might go in a completely different direction because they even talked about, hey, do you have plans Monday night? He asked her that and she said no. And so
I thought they were going to double book.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to double book.
Yeah. But no, now he's just going to hang out with his other friend instead.
I think that even if they had macked down in the tongue down, whatever phraseology we want to use for playroom time,
the study of phrases,
that's a word. regardless of what happened in the playroom, I feel like he still would have been gone out with whoever, male or female, buddy or love interest, would have gone out with that person in order to have an excuse not to go out with Hana, because otherwise it would have created conflict if he was like, oh, I randomly made plans with Vivi even though you already asked me out.
Mm.
That's where I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think Ryo right now is, I think the one thing, if there's anything we've learned about him, right, is that he doesn't like conflict in the house. Back when Emmy and Hana butted heads, the first thing he tried to do was gel things over with the both of them, right? Like try to figure out some common ground. I think he's now realizing all the gears have clicked in his head. Okay, Hana wants me. Vivi is hella horny for me. Yeah. If I act on anything here, is going to create conflicts in this house. I think he's just not. He's just going to not. I almost would not be surprised if he leaves.
I'm really disappointed in Ryo, like we said earlier, that he didn't respond more to Vivi when she was saying that stuff to him on the couch. You know, I wish he had some response. A non-response was weird.
Yeah.
I have a revelation, too. Or I guess not a revelation is not the right word, but I have a theory now. Or not even theory. What is the word I'm trying to say?
Prediction?
No, it's not even a prediction. Conspiracy? I have...
A guess?
A realization. A massive realization here.
Epiphany.
Yes, an epiphany. Thank you.
No, just epiphany.
Words. We've been podcasting so long today that I'm forgetting how to talk. But that Opie bar moment when Hana was next to him, looking at him, leaning in, saying, hey, when are we going out? When are we going out? When he said Opie bar, that was his fucking Costco moment. Opie bar, Opie bar, Opie bar.
His magic words.
That was his words to cast to distract from I don't want to date you. That was Rio's Costco moment. Holy shit.
So we know if he brings up Opie pubs again around Vivi, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. That's his safe word for like tapping out of a relationship.
Opie bar. Yeah, he hasn't had their popcorn in a while.
That one went over my
head. What the fuck?
That one went over way over, I think, maybe everyone.
I was really hoping somebody picked up that ball.
Because, you know, Costco popcorn.
Okay, we get it now.
Oh.
Okay, but they don't have popcorn at Titty Bar. I mean, I guess they might. I don't know. Do we know?
Let's go find out.
It's a bar. You tell me.
They could set the table with popcorn or Chex Mix.
Guys, let's end the podcast now and go to an Opie bar together. Let's do it. Daily, you're coming.
Nope. Let's do it. Let's go.
With everyone.
Okay. I wasn't going to refuse.
I don't know. This episode ends on such a weird note. I think I'm used to Terrace House not ending on weird cliffhangers, but this was just like, that sucks.
Yeah, that
was like sobbing, ugly cry literally. Into Emmy's sweater. Just
what is going to happen?
A lot.
What is going to happen? I mean, if you asked me last week, I would have said Ryo and Vivi are fucking
boning.
They're fucking. And now with the way he reacted and really it's, I think, I keep saying it, the playroom scene and what the conversation immediately before that. Now I don't know anymore. Doesn't seem like they're fucking anymore. Doesn't seem like it.
Oh, idea. I think I know what's going to happen next episode because next episode's called Not Guilty. I think
Samurai.
Ryo's going to be the not guilty basketball player where he's going to dip out and be like, I'm not, like, if y'all feel bad, I'm not guilty. It's not my fault. I'm leaving.
Ooh, dude, I didn't break any hearts.
If he fucking leaves now, it's the ultimate fucking weak ass shit. I mean, I don't know, man, because we've also said on podcast previous that it would be the ultimate G move if he didn't get with Vivi. But now that the possibility is actually very real here, now I feel very disappointed. I don't know. It's strange. It's just the manner it all went down.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I say let's wrap up this week's episode. We've lamented long enough on this weird episode.
This was a massive episode, though, man.
Let's end it on a happy note. Remember when Hana was peeking through the window? Wasn't that fucking funny?
That was funny. that was cute.
With the Mario jumping noise, too. You know, I can't do it.
This is just wild. This is just a personal milestone for us. This was our 99th episode. Wow. I mean, we've made more, but this is our 99th number one. Next week's gonna be pretty cool. It's our 100th.
Get ready, guys.
Bam, bam, bam.
We're just gonna keep going forward. We're gonna keep covering Tokyo 2019, 2020 because it's pretty much over now, and we've got nothing to lose but to keep chugging along and keep watching this and get as close to binging as we can as a weekly podcast.
Yeah. I would just say no promises, but maybe prepare to have some festivities to celebrate our 100th with us. Maybe get your alcohol out, your liquor out, and we'll see what happens. But we may or may not be drinking. We don't know yet. But be ready.
Same.
Yeah.
We're going to be handed a cup and we don't know what's going to be in it. So we might get drunk. Oh. We might not. We don't know.
Yikes.
It's a mystery.
We might die? Question.
We might die.
All we're saying is, while if you're going to drink while listening to our show, cover your drink.
That. And also, if you're drinking to someone, if you're drinking next to someone, put your glass just a little bit closer to theirs
and see where they put theirs. That's right.
Yeah.
You know what? We're the podcast that puts our glass right next to yours. We love you, motherfuckers.
I would put my glass on top of yours. That's how much I love you.
Damn.
Oh, damn.
That's erotic.
New tagline.
But that would just make a mess.
But mine would be on top for sure. If you have any questions, comments, or theories, any concerns with our show, you can email us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. We'll be back next Tuesday covering episode 30, Not Guilty. This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itekimasu.
Follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at Tadaimapod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.